So I haven't actually slept all night because my hand has been blistering and burning.
Oh,
so,
no.
No.
So anything I say, just take with it.
Welcome to Rated NA, the podcast for the website nerdappropriate.com, and this is episode 300, and I'm your host, Matt.
And I'm Ash.
300?
I'm shooting fireworks, man.
What?
Right, I'm right here in my chair. I'm launching them all over the room. It's very dangerous.
That's insane.
I remember having so many fireworks as a kid and burning myself endlessly, but this is far more dangerous than that.
We have so much audio from this show that I think you could listen for like a month straight.
Oh, yeah. Easily. And I would not wish that upon anybody.
No one should do that, but no. You could. 1 month of no sleep and you could listen to every hour that we've recorded.
Absolutely. This is a, of course, very special episode. Not only is it episode 300 of our show, the Rated NA podcast, but we have Amy Acker back on the show.
What?
Yeah. And I will say this is her third time on the show, which I'm still to this day floored that she ever agreed to come on the show. But I think this is my favorite one of her appearances. I had so much fun with her this time.
Yeah, she's just so much fun to talk to. She's just like very, very down to earth and like up to answer our dumb questions and stuff. And it's fun. You know, she's good people.
Yeah. I mean, we, so first of all, thank you folks listening. Cause we got a lot of submissions, people submitted questions from the web and from Twitter and such. And so we used a lot of those questions. So you saved me a lot of work. So thank you for that. And on top of that, she, you know, talks about not only The Gifted on Fox, but she goes back and tells some stories about Angel, tells some stories about, you know, her start in Hollywood, which she told before, but this is a new version of that story with stuff we didn't hear before with some cool stuff. And, we got a lot of, great person of interest stories too.
Yeah.
So, you know, the thing that in you guys made fun of me the first time she was on, cause I gushed endlessly, but she has honestly been on some of my favorite shows of all time.
Yeah.
And to have her on the show, talk about her experiences and just to hang out and, like you said, answer our dumb questions is just, awesome. Like I'm honored to have her on, and, she's just a super cool person. And I think people are really going to like this chat with her.
Absolutely, man. I agree on all points.
We are here for episode 300 of the Rated NA podcast, and we have a very special guest back for round three, Amy Acker.
Yay, welcome.
Welcome back.
300, that's so many.
It is so many. We ask ourselves all the time, why?
Why? It just ends with why.
Why? Why and how? No, 300's a lot. And you know what's crazy? I went back and I checked the last time you were on, and it's been a really long time. It was December 2013.
Yeah, wow.
Which was quite a long time ago. And I kind of want to know what you've been up to since December 2013.
Oh, geez. I wish I had a really exciting story to tell. I don't, where was I? What show was I on then?
I think
was
you had just, I want to say Person of Interest was on maybe the second or third season. So we started talking a little bit about that. So a lot has transpired.
Yeah. I remember, I guess I had already spoken because I saw you at Comic-Con that year.
Yeah. Right? Yeah. I ran into you in the carport and I was like, Amy Acker. and you're like, oh, hey, strange guy.
I was like, oh, somebody knows me.
No, you were so incredibly nice. I remember I was at the hotel and I saw you in the carport. I think you were about to leave the con, and I was like, "Holy cow, I can actually say hi in person," which was super fun. So, but yeah, so it's been since December 2013. You had been on the show once before, and this is for our listeners that first of all, people are really stoked to have you back on, but the first time you were on was back in 2012. And so this is awesome having you on for the 300th episode of our show. And, you know, we're huge fans of your work, and obviously we're going to talk about The Gifted on Fox, and we're going to have to talk a little bit about Person of Interest, because we got a lot of questions from our community and from your community about Person of Interest. But yeah, so you're in LA now, right?
We are. We're back here, though we shoot The Gifted in Atlanta, but after Person of Interest, we moved back to Los Angeles, and yeah, you know, as soon as we moved back here, I got a job somewhere else. So I guess that's just how it works.
I mean, that's sort of like your, you know, I remember when the first time we had you on, your origin story was pretty awesome. Specifically that when you first moved to LA, you got a job on Angel like incredibly quickly, right? It was like the first couple of months, right?
Yeah, I got really, really lucky. So I think I've been spoiled by starting my career, getting to work with Joss and say his awesome dialogue. And so luckily I've gotten to do a lot of great things because of that. So, but I did have one job in LA before that. I actually probably shouldn't even talk about this movie.
Please, you got to do it now. You got to tell.
But I was in a movie, a few days after I got to LA, I got this movie that William Shatner wrote and directed and starred in that I was in.
What's the name of this movie?
Maybe we don't need all the details.
Well, we're going to have to do some Google searching and and look up the specifics about this, because this sounds fantastic already.
It's something.
That's amazing. So I'm glad, first of all, I'm incredibly excited to talk about The Gifted, and to have you back on is awesome. We'll talk about The Gifted a bit down the road, but I just want to kind of preface this by saying I grew up watching and reading the X-Men, and they were, to me as a little kid, very close to, like, as nerdy as this sounds, they're family to me. Like, I like hugged those comics and read them every single day, and to have such an accurate depiction of the dynamic between like mutants and humans on TV is really special to me. And having you on it is an extra added bonus, because, you know, we're your pals and we think you're awesome. But I'm just so excited that this show is good, and I can't wait to dive in and talk a little bit about it. But before we get to that stuff, I wanted to ask you, the last time you were on, you gave us the recipe for your own homemade pickles. And I was curious if you are still cooking stuff, and if so, like, what is your current culinary expertise?
Well, this is gonna be a bad right now. Probably after we leave here, I have to go to the hospital, because last night I was making some bolognese, and I grabbed a spoon from behind the pot of boiling water and didn't realize the heat had conducted up it. So I haven't actually slept all night, because my hand has been blistering and burning.
Oh, no.
Anything I say, just take with it. Realizing that there's a lack of sleep and severe pain still happening. So I may have to retire from cooking after today.
Burns from that kind of stuff is like the absolute worst. I remember I made this like casserole, like a glass, you know, casserole dish. Yeah. And I intelligently pulled it out of the oven with oven mitts on, and then turned around and did some stuff, and then turned back around and picked up the dish with like my bare hands.
Ouch.
And my wife was watching, and I was like, oh no, 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 no. And I like gently put it back down, because my brain was like, oh, don't drop the glass dish. And I'm like just singeing my hand terribly.
That's the worst. We're sorry that you're burnt. And we're also sorry that you have to record in a closet. So first of all, thank you for being such a trooper and coming on the show while you're in pain with no sleep, broadcasting from a closet. You are, there's a reason.
Very
Yeah.
A fancy life here.
Well, we had a lot of questions about Person of Interest, and we had a lot of questions come in over Twitter about Person of Interest. So we're going to dive into that for a few minutes before we talk about The Gifted. Okay. I just kind of want to know, this show, I feel like after the show wrapped, I feel like the show became even more popular than it was when it was on. I know we had a lot more traffic from like your interviews and stuff like that as soon as the show was over. I feel like once it reached Netflix, it just kind of went insane. What was the whole experience like for you as an actor going through like the ride of Person of Interest from start to finish? I know that's a very broad general question, so I apologize, but I kind of just want to know about the whole experience.
Okay. Well, since it kind of started out somewhat in an odd way because the character of Root had already been introduced to the show, but was not me. So they had kind of shown a girl's hands and the back of her head and done a whole episode about this girl. And they had gotten some interest on the character and it seemed like something they wanted to explore. So they decided to cast the part and ask me if I would just come do like 5 or 6 episodes in season 2, I guess. And so that was really exciting. And, you know, Jonah Nolan and Greg Plagman called and were excited about the character and telling me all about it. And Jonah's wife, Lisa Joy, had been a big Angel Buffy fan and had said, you know, cast Amy. So I'm forever grateful for her. I was excited about kind of being that. I knew I was kind of supposed to be sort of the big bad of season 2. And when I got to set, the first episode was all me being the psychiatrist. So I really wasn't playing the character. I really had no idea what character I was being cast to play, except for the very final scene. And when we got to the last scene, both Jonah and Greg were on set and they kind of were like, you know what, we were thinking it would be really cool if Root, like, you know, don't like do the thing where you like lower your voice and be all like serious and shoot the girl in the head. What if you're just like your normal self and just like are smiling and happy and shoot her in the head? Okay, that sounds really fun. So that was kind of my first taste as to what was to come. And then as we got into season 2, just I got to do so many fun things with Michael, and I, you know, kidnapping Michael Emerson, I highly recommend to anyone. Lots of fun.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, the thing that's just spectacular about your character in the show is like you as an actor got to do so many different things. And in terms of just like, and we'll talk about this a little bit later, but just like radiating badassery, like you, like you've done some awesome things in your shows before, like Illyria, completely awesome. But like this show, like you just got to be like a super like Neo from the Matrix badass. Like it's like
that was pretty awesome. I got to do really cool things. It was every time I got a script, I was so excited to see what they had written, and you know, it was so fun because some of the stuff was, like you said, like Matrixy, and then sometimes I'm like in a bear costume. So.
Right, absolutely, so, absolutely.
Fun, really fun stuff too. So
yeah, so many different and kooky aliases that you got to kind of put on during the show, which was just so much fun. So if our listeners haven't checked on Person Interest, it's I think it's the whole series is available now on Netflix, I think, still. So definitely go back and watch them; they're fantastic. I remember. Shortly after my son was born, I got caught up and I watched like something like 40 episodes in a row when he was still like in the pupa stage, like still like, you know, a couple months old when I could still binge watch shows. Now it's like hard to watch anything, which I'm sure you're well aware of as a parent yourself. But
yeah.
So we got a lot of questions and comments about this. The Root and Shaw relationship is, you know, really like, I would say iconic in the LGBTQ community at this point. Did you and Sarah have an instant connection when you first met each other? Or, and because there, I mean, I know you guys are both incredible actors, but there was also, you can't you can't fake chemistry like that. And that chemistry is absolutely apparent on screen. So what was your first meeting like together? And were you guys just instantly kind of like, oh, like admiring one another?
Well, the first day we met was when we did that scene with the iron, in the hotel room. And, you know, at that point, I don't think they had any idea that Root and Shaw would become anything, that there was like anything that was going to happen with that. I think I was just supposed to go in there and torture her with an iron, as you do.
As you do, of course.
But I think we did. I mean, we're both from Dallas and we both had gone to SMU, and I think we just hit it off initially. And then the way they had written the two characters, it just made it really fun to play off of each other. And so I when we were filming that scene for the first time, Amanda Siegel was there with Jonah, who was directing it. And she was like, why this scene isn't supposed to be sexy, but this is the sexiest scene we've ever had.
That's what I'm saying. Like, even when I was first watching the show, I wasn't anticipating there to be like a romantic connection between your two characters, but it was there. And I was just like, oh man, like there's something going on here.
Yeah.
But we did have a question from Twitter, and this is from Jen Gaga 58. And Jen Gaga wants to know, are you going to guest star on Sarah's show Reverie?
Well, I would love to. I hope so. It also shoots right down the street from my house. So.
Oh, does it really?
Yeah.
You should just walk up to set and be like a creeper in the background and see if people notice.
I mean, it looks like they're having so much fun. I obviously follow Sarah on Instagram and all of that, and I'm always like, oh, look at all those girls. It just looks like such a good time. So
that's awesome. That actually reminds me, when you were on last time, it was before you had guested on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. And I remember, like a total nerdy fanboy, I was like, please go on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. And you were like, I don't know what I'm like. And that happened, and it was so sad and tragic. Like, that was the saddest little arc of your character on S.H.I.E.L.D., being, you know, the cello player and not being able to get back together with Coulson. Such a drag.
I feel like now that with the Marvel and Gifted, it would be really fun to do like a Gifted S.H.I.E.L.D. crossover and get to play both characters.
Oh my gosh. That would be so fantastic. And who knows, maybe with the whole Fox Marvel Disney acquisition nonsense going on, that might be something that can actually happen one day.
Yeah.
That would be so cool. So we have a couple more person of interest related questions, which, by the way, thanks for diving back into this. I know people, this is like old news, but people still really want to know about this stuff. So it's,
no.
So it's cool. So diving back a couple years, when you first read the script and you learned about the fate of what happens to Root, and I guess we can, at this point, I think it's okay to spoil it. What was your first reaction when you read that script? Like, did you know what was coming, or?
Yeah, they had actually told me the summer before, like a few days before Comic-Con, that this was going to happen. So I knew it was happening that season, because they had asked me to record the voice over for the that happened on the last episode where the machine's talking back through Root's voice and through in the subway that kind of opens the whole finale. So I had recorded a version of that for the Comic-Con reel. And I was like, wait
a second here.
But
you're like, I don't want to be a computer.
I really liked the story, and I felt like it really honored the character, because that was what she was brought. I mean, that was what she was created. Her part on the show was created for, was, you know, to kind of set the machine free. And I love that it ended up being because she wanted to save all of these people who she had now become family with. And it wasn't just about her and the machine at that point. So it felt like a romantic and, just ending to me, though I was sad and also happy because I ended up, you know, they said I was gonna die and I figured I wouldn't be around, but I ended up being in almost every episode after that. So I see everybody, so that was good.
So you got to still hang out with your friends, right? Yeah. What was the sort of the community and fan reaction like when they learned about now? Because it's interesting, like as an actor on social media, you hear a lot more than I guess, you know, when Angel was on and stuff, like Twitter wasn't a thing. So like, what is it like now having instant reactions from your fans and your community when something like that happens? Was it jarring? Was it weird?
You know, it was not, because the fans of that show are just so incredible and everything, you know, people had strong feelings about it, but everything was, I think because it was written so well and, you know, there's so much left open for interpretation and it just, I felt like, I don't know, it was really, I can't imagine like if I had been on Twitter when Fred had died and turned into Illyria, I don't know if it would have been the same response. I mean,
oh, yeah. I lost my mind. I remember we talked about this the first time you were on the show, but we used to watch Angel in like big, like I was like in college at the time. So there were like 10 of us would sit around the TV and there was a time when like Buffy and Angel would air back to back and we would have like these big pizza parties. And I remember that happening to your character and just like being totally devastated. Well, at first when I thought that you were gone off the show, I was like, no, because like Fred was my favorite. But then you came back and you were like ultra awesome. And I was like, I can deal with this.
Well, thank you.
You're welcome. You're welcome. I think, you know, we got a lot of questions regarding the future of Person of Interest, and I haven't heard anything regarding like what's happening with the show, but people have been like asking like what's going on. Have you I know you like if you have heard anything, you likely cannot say anything, but have you heard anything or any rumblings about this show coming back in any capacity? Because we got so many questions about it.
I mean, I haven't heard anything. I see Jonah and talk to him occasionally, and I'm always like, what if we do a Sean Root thing? Like, yeah. Or something. And there's a lot of fans in China, so I'm like, let's do something where they are in China. And get I'm basically just trying to plan like my dream job.
So there you go. There you go.
Jonah and Sarah, and I'm like, and Michael will be there, and it'll be great.
So. Amy says she wants the show set in China. Let's do it.
Oh, super.
So anyway, so there, hopefully, listeners, there are some of your answers about Person of Interest. We're going to jump on over to The Gifted, and I have lots of questions, and we got, of course, lots of questions about The Gifted as well. But I'm so stoked you're on the show. This is like when I was thinking about when I first, I'll be completely honest, when I first heard the show was coming out, I was like, oh, boy. It sounds like it sounded to me like it was going to just stray so far from the source material and that it wasn't going to be like, you know, wasn't really going to be, because you hear that it's all about a family and this family on the run. And I'm like, are they even going to have mutants in the show? And holy crap, like this is an X-Men TV show. You are on an X-Men TV show. Like this is as X-Men, like tonally, like, and I told you this at the intro to the show, but I grew up reading these comics. You know, I still have my collection from when I was a little kid. Like I said, these characters are family to me, but we have, you know, characters like Blink and Thunderbird and Polaris and the descendants of Fenris on the show. And holy cow, like how cool is this? So what I want to know, like what it was like for you to get this offer and to kind of like, did it take you a while to accept it, or were you just like, this sounds awesome? Like, I just kind of want to know your mindset, like when you first heard about the project.
Yeah. Well, I mean, just being Marvel, it was very, you kind of said everything I knew about it, that it was X-Men and it was supposed to be based on a family who finds out their kids are mutants. And that's about all the information I had to go on. But also I'm a huge X-Men fan, and I felt like the timing and like the allegory of what X-Men stand for. And it just seemed like such a perfect story to be telling and something that I was really excited to be a part of. And so I kind of went into it a little bit blind, other than having just the history of whatever X-Men knowledge I had and knowing what that meant. But since then, I think I've said this before, but the thing that I found really interesting, just based on other sci-fi shows that I've done, is so much of the time, like just using Angel or Person of Interest as an example, you have these people who are all displaced from their family, and they come together to form a new family. And I just thought this was the family aspect that this family decides to stay together and fight for each other is something that you don't usually see in that world, I guess. At least, in my experience, it's always been like we have to make a new family because our family's left us. So I liked the idea that there was another side to that.
No, I agree. I think one of the things that you just touched on that I think is really accurate is I think it does a really good job of portraying what a lot of families would do in a situation like this. Like from the very get-go, the family is like, oh no, we're sticking together. Like there's no BS. Like everyone, at least at the very beginning of the series, we'll get to the end in it or season one in just a minute. But at the beginning of the series, everyone's like, no, we're in this together. We're supporting each other. You know, and I thought that was really great. You're a parent of some kids yourself. Did you ask yourself what you would do like Amy Acker would do in a very a similar situation?
I mean, I would like to think it wouldn't be that different. I mean, I definitely feel like I would stand by and fight for my children. I would probably have gotten, I don't know, I guess I am like Caitlin in a way that I just am like, what do you mean? They should be accepted. It doesn't, you know, I would have probably been a little naive to the thing of just like, no, this is fine. Everybody should think it's fine. Why is there a problem?
Right.
But, you know, it's, so yeah, I think I would hope I would do something. I know I would stand by my children, that's for sure.
I don't know, like as a dad, if like if I found out my son was a mutant, I would be like, okay, we're forming a super team. I have no powers, but I'll be like your sidekick. I'll like carry the snacks and like throw snacks to you, and you can go fight crime. And I'd be a very selfish like superhero dad. This is my burning desire to be a superhero, but.
Well, hey.
I know. Do you ever, like, this is totally a side note, but, like, do you feel like you should eventually, because you, above everyone else on the show, have been more super than the rest of them in your career, do you feel like you are kind of owed some powers, or at least, like, a bionic, like, Iron Man suit at some point?
You know, I mean...
This is such a dumb question. I'm so
sorry. This is probably the answer I'm supposed to say is yes, I should totally have awesome powers. But I really kind of love that I'm the only one without powers. I hope that as like season two comes along, I feel like there's so much like humor that could be had in that. And I hope that kind of comes into play more. And, you know, I just think like, I think it's important to have this character who is still strong and powerful without the powers. And I don't know, I kind of like not having powers. No. I mean, I still want to be cool.
Your character is super cool. I mean, your character is very much super for different reasons. I mean, she's not only is she sort of the team medic at this point, but she's also kind of this, the moral compass for a lot of people at this point too. So I think a lot of the characters are looking up to her, and you're right. She is absolutely super. I just wanted to see you like painted in blue again, doing jump kicks. So,
well, you know. That would be fun. I was thinking like, if I got like, you know, I'm just pitching ideas in my own head of what I wish that would happen. But I'm like, what if they decide to try like to torture me and put that mutant drug in me, and you know, just for an episode or two, I could have some.
Yeah.
Some good stuff.
I like how this sounds. We're going to get into slightly spoiler territory. So if you have not finished up season one of The Gifted, I'm going to reveal some things about the finale because it's super cool what's going on right now. Like I said, as a fan of the X-Men, there's always been this conflict that's going on in the X-Men universe. You have Professor X's school of thought, which is sort of peace and harmony between mutants. And you have Magneto's school of thought, which is like much more violent, much more militant. Sometimes people would say that he believes mutants are better than humans. And at the end of season one, your kids kind of go off in different directions. And one sort of adheres to the Professor X school of thought and one adheres to the Magneto school of thought. I'm curious which kid you think is right.
Well, I mean, in the show, I think it's clear that I stand by my daughter thinking, you know, I feel like somewhat that Andy's been manipulated by these people and the Hellfire Club and all of that. And I think I, through the whole show, have sort of stood by the idea of don't sink to their level. Like you should be a good example of how you want to be treated. Kind of like, you know, the golden rule. So I would say that's probably how I would be in real life too. I don't know. I think I'm worried about what's going to happen to him.
So, I am too. You don't want to see him. You don't want to see him become all big bad. But man, seeing the flashback and seeing how it ties in with like Marvel Universe and having them be the Von Struckers was just so cool. As a kid who like would open up books and see those characters and seeing them on the screen is just very cool. And I have to give a big shout out to Natalie and Percy, the actors who play your kids, because they're absolutely fantastic. Like kid actors are hard to come by, and they're not kid actors, but younger actors, and they're unbelievably, unbelievably talented. So they do a great job.
Yeah, we were so lucky, just because I can't imagine two people who would be better, and they bring so much to the part, and they're so much fun to act with, and it's just, you know, there are definitely older people around on the show that seem more like kids than the actual. Probably one of them. I'm always like, Natalie, take care of me.
I think that would be us too. We'd be eating lots of craft service and like goofing around with all the props. That would be us.
She's great too. I when the show first came on, I was like, God, I recognize her from somewhere. Where do I recognize her from? And I looked it up, and she was on the show The Goldbergs, and she was great on that as well. Like, she's awesome.
Yeah, and I think she had a good arc on Gotham as well.
Yeah,
oh, did she? Yeah. I need to watch Gotham again. We had a question from Twitter from Lena March, who's at MarchLena on Twitter. And she asks, have your husband and your kids watched The Gifted? And if so, who is their favorite character?
They have watched it. I don't think it's me. Everyone likes the people with powers, you know. That's the saddest part about not having any. No one likes you. No one dresses up like you for Halloween. I think Blink's a pretty big favorite in our house. And then Ava likes Lauren a lot, though she offended Natalie by, she was like, I want to have powers like Natalie, because then I could just bubble wrap myself and roll down the stairs. And Natalie's like, my powers look like bubble wrap.
No. It really does look like bubble wrap. I never
thought about that. Like, it was a really, it was a a win.
And those poor actors have to do the constant hand motions for like shooting. Like, I can imagine what it's like on set all the time, just seeing them making these hand gestures like for hours at a time. It's so good. We had another question from Haggis McHaggis, who's at Haggis McHaggis on Twitter, and he said, what has been the biggest story surprise you've experienced for your character and your co-stars? So what surprised you the most so far of the episodes that you shot?
That's
a hard question. You have to search the memory banks.
Oh, no, it's hard to remember now that I know everything that's happened. So, let's see.
I think the twist at the end of the season one finale was pretty good.
Yeah, I felt like I saw that one coming. I love that's how it's happening. So I don't know what I was actually surprised by. I guess this is on this show more than any others, like with Person of Interest or Angel or any of those, other than knowing that big one storyline, those when I was going to die, both of those times they told me I was going to die. But but other than that, I really knew nothing about the scripts. And here they have a little bit more of an open dialogue with us. So they kind of say, this is what's coming up. And actually this, they, you know, they definitely ask about if there's something that, like with Polaris, with Emma, she had said, I want to do some sort of dancing thing. And, you know, they definitely try to bring in stuff that people know that they're good at and want to do. So, so I think there's a little bit less surprise just because we kind of have a little heads up of what is coming.
That's a good answer. I mean, it's cool to know that you guys have like a collaborative sort of back and forth between you and the showrunners. I think that's really cool. And I feel like that really shows in the acting, like the performances, not just saying this because you're on the show, like I wanted to love this show and ended up really loving the show. So it came out and I was like, holy cow, it's great. And the performances are one of the things that really drive that. So if you haven't given The Gifted a shot yet, definitely give it a shot. A couple more from Twitter, and then we're going to go on to our lightning round questions, which we have modified specifically for you. I know. So this one is from Justin Banks, who's at Sir Kingsman on Twitter. And he says, if Reed Strucker is a mutant and his gene had not been suppressed, what do you think his superpower would be? And you might actually know the answer to this, so I don't want you to get in trouble. But what do you think Reed Strucker's power is?
I don't know. I'm hoping that's kind of a big arc of season two. I hope that there's some more. I felt like that little was just such a little taste of finding all that information out. And I hope that gets explored more now that we have a little more time to go into things. But I would say, since his dad had kind of the destructive thing and Andy has the destructive thing, maybe he has something a little more similar to Lauren, like a little bit more of like a holding, you know, kind of a putting things together kind of, protecting, like a protection power.
Or a metamorphosis into a sexy man vampire.
Well, yeah, obviously, yeah, that's just his normal life.
Normal life for him, yeah. such great characters on the show. I love it. Okay, and so the last one from Twitter is from Maverick Tom, and Maverick Tom asks, what are your expectations for season two? And I'm curious, where are you guys in production? Have you started shooting yet, or are you still in kind of pre-production?
Yeah, we're still, I mean, they got the pickup not too long ago, so I think the writer's room is starting in the next couple of weeks. And then we start filming season two in May.
Oh, awesome.
So we'll be melting in Atlanta also.
Oh, yeah.
when everyone's sweating all the scenes.
That's rough. Yeah, my family spent most of our summers in Georgia, too. And you're right. It is not not a good time. May, June, July is sweltering.
Yeah, but it'll be exciting. It works out nicely because now there's a few of us who have families, so I know my family's going to be able to come out for the summer, and that'll just make it
even more. Oh, that's awesome. That's awesome. Yeah, because the kids will be out of school and such, so you'll be able to spend some time in Atlanta. That's great. That's cool that you get to do. Do they come on set and hang out?
They're kind of like what you said. They just want to go to get candy at the craft table.
just like we would. All right, so we have a little bit of time for some ridiculous lightning round questions. You can answer these as quickly or as slowly as you like. They're totally random, and we apologize ahead of time for how stupid they are, but they're fun. So,
okay.
The first one is, what cartoon did you watch the most as a kid?
Oh, what cartoon? I guess like Scooby-Doo.
I watched a lot of Scooby-Doo too. That was good. That was a good one.
There was also a cartoon called Beverly Hills Teens or something. I don't know what it was. It was bad, but I liked it.
What was the last thing that you binge watched on Netflix?
The last thing I binge watched. Well, right now we're in the midst of binge watching Kimmy Schmidt.
Oh, and so Rachel good. Schmidt.
Very fun.
It is really good. I watched the heck out of that right after, like I said, when I was binge watching shows right after my son was born, we watched that and it was a good pick me up, a very positive, happy show.
Love yeah. It's hard when you, cause now that I have like teenagers trying to find shows that we can all watch together, you get to a whole new TV section. So I'm not sure it's totally appropriate, but it is what we're going with.
Well, sometimes, I mean, my kid's not even two yet. And, we're trying to find things that we can like tolerate that he can kind of like, we're not really supposed to show him a lot of TV. That's at least what we read, but stuff that we can put on that he can watch that like, doesn't make us want to like throw ourselves off a bridge, you know?
So we found some good stuff. There seems to be a good market for that.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. What am I watching? I watched Everything Sucks, which is like it reminds me a lot of Freaks and Geeks. That's the last thing that I watched.
We started an episode of that too.
It's really good. Freaks
and Geeks. And we watched the first couple of Altered Carbon too.
Oh. Yeah, we watched that too.
Did you do that with the whole family?
We started
to. Oh, okay.
And then we realized quickly that was definitely not.
Yeah, that show has wieners in it. You got to be careful.
We just started, Melissa's already watched, but we just started Magicians.
Oh, yeah. Well, Chris Fisher, who directed, was the producing director of Person of Interest, is now on that show. So.
Oh, awesome. It's great. I'm really loving it.
And they've got I saw Felicia's on there. Seems like
I just saw the editor.
Lots of fun.
Yeah, that's really cool. Real quick, Altered Carbon is really good if you give it a shot. And by the time you get to episode 4 of Everything Sucks, it's beautiful. It's great, especially if you grew up in the 90s like we did. So
great.
Yeah, it's really good.
Stick with them.
Yeah. Okay, so if you had to eat one fast food restaurant for the rest of your life, which one would you choose? And this is all you get to eat is this one fast food restaurant.
Whataburger.
Oh, really? Nice. I haven't had a Whataburger in a really long time. I guess you can interpret this question any way you want, but would you want to be a mutant?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's the right answer.
Sure.
Or you could end up with like one of those terrible powers though, like, you know, the optic blasts every time you open your eyes, or like knocking people unconscious when you touch them. That's the thing about mutant powers is sometimes they're a little tricky, but I would say yes too.
I'll hope for the best.
Yeah. Did you go to your high school prom and was it terrible?
I did. And not memorable, so I guess it wasn't terrible or good. I had a boyfriend in another high school, and I remember his prom more. So I don't even know where it was or anything. I blocked it out. It must have been terrible.
Yeah, mine too. I only have like little kind of snippets, but I remember it being really anticlimactic. So
yeah.
You always like some people have the ultimate horror stories when you ask them about prom, or some people like, it's the time of my life. And I'm like, really? Was it really?
Yeah, I'm not in either of those categories.
All right. So here's a fun one. You've been kidnapped and can call on the team from any TV show or film to rescue you. Who do you call?
I'm calling the Person of Interest team.
They would definitely save the day.
I think I would be in good hands.
There's a lot of different teams that you've been on that you could call that would actually probably do a pretty good job at rescuing you. All right, so this is in a gladiatorial match. Who would win in a fight, Root, Illyria, Whiskey, or Kelly Payton?
Oh, jeez.
Forcing you to be a little schizophrenic.
That's a good fight, though. Does Root have access to the machine?
Yes. We'll say yes.
Okay. I feel like we're down between Root and Illyria. I don't know. I don't know how Illyria's powers go up against. She may be. I don't know. She is already a goddess, so I guess she might have an advantage.
It would be a good fight. Definitely a good fight. All right, and this one, I think we may have asked you this before, but I want to see if your answer has changed nearly 5 years later. But the perfect pizza is one topped with blank.
Okay. I wonder what I said last time.
I don't recall what you said last time. This is also why I'm asking it again, because I honestly don't remember.
Well, my favorite pizza is pesto, potatoes, and green beans.
Whoa. I have never had such a thing.
You should make it. And cheese, obviously cheese.
Pesto, potatoes, and green beans. That sounds fantastic. Is there any place in your area that actually makes that? Or is that something that you make yourself?
There's a restaurant called Pache that's on Laurel Canyon. And it's called the Aphrodite Pie. And it's so yummy.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, that's it. You ran through these questions. You survived round three of our show. Episode 300. Thank you, Amy Acker, so much. Where can people find you on social media?
Oh my gosh, I'm being terrible at social media right now. Maybe once my burned hand heals, I'll be better about it. But I'm on Twitter. I think it's the Amy Acker, and maybe that's the same for Instagram. Or maybe I'm just Amy Acker. I don't somewhere with my picture.
we'll link it in the show notes so people know where to find you. I think most of the people that will listen to this will probably already be following you. But honestly, thank you so much. This is so awesome catching up with you. And Matt and I will be out at Comic-Con this year, so maybe we'll run into you again and do another high five. But best of luck shooting this summer in Atlanta, and best of luck with the family and with everything else. And you are amazing.
Thank you
guys. So fun to talk to you. Have a great day.
Thanks, you too.
Bye.
All right, thank you guys so much for listening to our chat with Amy Acker. She's amazing.
Yes, absolutely.
She's too much fun, and I'm glad that she agreed to hang out. And 300 episodes is ridiculous, man. I can't believe that we did it.
and it is honestly so cool of her to come back and do the 300th. There's so much other stuff for people to go back and check out if you want to listen to, but we have more shows still coming. We're not stopping at 300.
No, we have events coming up too. So we're going to be at PAX East in a couple weeks at this point. Yeah. And then Matt and I will be at San Diego Comic-Con as well. So if you're at any of those places, we'll be out there recording content and hanging out. Big shout out to everyone that's been listening. We have some people that have been listening since the very early episodes. Thank you. It means everything to us. It's amazing. It's kind of humbling and crazy. 7 years is a long time to do anything, and to be doing a podcast for this long. And, you know, for all of us, and I'll speak for you guys, for all of us to still love each other as much as we do.
Yeah, sure, man.
That's why Scott isn't here, right? Scott's like, yeah, I love you. I love you guys.
There's been a bunch of infighting going on.
That's not. No, but as always, you guys can follow us on social media. Twitter is at NerdAppropriate. Facebook is /NerdAppropriate. You can email us directly. That's nerds@nerdappropriate.com. And, say hi to us and, of course, subscribe to our show. We appreciate it. You guys are awesome. And we will talk to you soon.
Thank you so much, guys.
Bye. We'll be right back. have like lots and lots of fun stuff planned for the future of the show. So please, you know, bear with us and hang out in the future. That's terrible. Let's cut that. Part two. Cut.